Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this being Friday, we started the show today with one New York City mayor, and we're closing the show today with news from another. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, if you haven't heard this news yet, it only broke about 16 hours ago or something, is apparently running for president. So we're going to open up the phones. We'll fill you in on the details, but also we want to hear from those of you who like the idea and those of you who don't like the idea. How are you reacting to the news that Michael Bloomberg might be running? Are you excited, exhausted? Are you rolling your eyes? Or maybe this is something you've wanted from the start. Now, I'm not going to pretend to have some kind of fake poll here that wouldn't actually be representative of anything. So let's get some pro-Bloomberg for president callers on the air if you're out there right now. And some of those who maybe are rolling your eyes right now, 212-433-WNYC. If you like the idea of Michael Bloomberg entering the presidential race, or if you don't like the idea of Michael Bloomberg entering the presidential race, 212-433-9692. I know there are, part of the rationale here is that for those who want a more centrist option who might like Joe Biden, may in some cases feel like Biden's not performing like you hoped. And that may be what Michael Bloomberg is trying to capitalize as his quote-unquote lane. So pro-Bloomberg, anti-Bloomberg, 212-433-9692. The news comes out now because of a filing deadline. Each state has a different deadline for when you have to register to be a candidate. And Alabama, of all places, has the first deadline, which is today. So this week, Bloomberg got ready to file paperwork, and he's been collecting enough signatures in the state, apparently, to qualify, officially making him the candidate who waited until the last possible minute. Hey, New York City mayors are often late. We know that, right? The thing is, we're over a year into this race. We've had debates. Nine candidates already dropped out. And just 8 months ago, he said he wouldn't run. Remember that?
To start a four-year job, maybe an eight-year job at age 79, may not be the smartest thing to do. But I think if I thought I could win, I would have. I just couldn't see a path where I could get the nomination and to spend the next year and a half, 2 years of my life campaigning. No matter how much I love campaigning, I had three campaigns, won them all, but it's just not going to happen on a national level for somebody like me starting where I am, unless I was willing to change all my views and go on what CNN called an apology tour. Joe Biden went out and apologized for being male, over 50, white.
So that's why he wasn't going to run as of March, but never mind. Maybe an apology tour is next. I don't know. I'm not in a prediction business, but I'm going to say probably not. With me now to help field your calls and bring us the latest, and I mean the very latest, the last one, the last possible minute in Alabama anyway, is Juan Manuel Benitez, reporter for New York One Noticias and host of Puerto Politica there. Hey, Juan Manuel, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Brian, and thank you for having me.
Were you surprised by this news?
I'm surprised because I don't see that anything changed from the last time we heard Bloomberg, like you just played the clip, the last time he said that he couldn't see a path. We've all realized, or the Democrats have realized, that Joe Biden might not be as strong of a candidate as people thought at the beginning. I'm not surprised about that specifically. But on the other hand, you have enough candidates still running for president in the Democratic field that might also appeal to moderates, right? You have someone like South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Mm-hmm. You have people like Senator Cory Booker. So I don't understand why Michael Bloomberg might be thinking right now that a lane has opened for him to run for president. And then again, Brian, I don't know about you, but I've been covering Bloomberg maybe possibly running for president since 2007, and he's never done it. So I don't really think that this time around he's going to take the he's
plunge.
Going to jump in.
You
yeah.
don't. But yeah. what he's doing at very least today is filing for the Alabama primary by the deadline of today. So he's serious enough that he's at least keeping this option officially open.
Right. And it might be a trial balloon, right? But we, right now, if you hear from Democrats, I think it's really hard to foresee a future next 4 months where Democrats voting in the primary, in the primaries and in the caucuses, that they're going to think that someone like Michael Bloomberg is the best option right now for them, not only to beat Donald Trump, but to bring about the change that many Democrats right now are demanding. And I don't know. I never saw, and I don't know. I've spoken to many Democratic voters, and I don't think they believe that the solution for taking out the millionaire right now in the White House is to have a billionaire in its place. So I can't really see it right now. But then again, like you said before, we are not in the prediction business. Anything can happen. A lot of people never believed that someone like Donald Trump could ever be president. But for all those who right now are thinking that Michael Bloomberg could be a good option against Donald Trump, that would be for the general election. Mm-hmm. And we all have to remember that to get to that point, that person, in this case, Michael Bloomberg, would have to win the Democratic primary. And that is not going to be that easy. You're going to need a lot of money that he has, but also a lot of time that he hasn't spent in places like Iowa, places like Nevada, maybe even South Carolina. You need to spend a lot of time with those voters to really make a successful appeal and for you to be the winner yes. of all those contests.
I will ignore the fact that you called Trump a millionaire merely, and
I mean,
Bloomberg
you,
a billionaire. So
have you seen his tax returns yet?
I absolutely have not, but maybe you have more information than I do that he is a fake billionaire and not a billionaire as he claims. I will just leave it there that you said millionaire, not billionaire. And let's take a phone call from a Bloomberg fan, Penny in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hey, Penny.
I'm over the moon. I texted all my friends. Wahoo! I'm thrilled. I've been writing his name in every time anyone sent me an email saying, who's your choice? If they offered an opportunity. I'm a New Yorker, Manhattan. He was my mayor for 12 years. He made sense. I didn't always agree with him, but the man makes sense. And he's tough and he's strong and he doesn't give a whatever about minorities. It's like Mayor Koch didn't care about people who made it.
You realize what you just said, right?
You said
he doesn't give a blank about minorities.
By minority opinions.
Oh, okay.
I thank you very much for correcting me because I would not want to say that at all. I think he was an excellent mayor for a very diverse city. I think he has the power to be president. I think he's the only one of the people running who has power to withstand the ugliness of this. And most importantly, I think he's the only person who might now be in the campaign that actually can appeal to middle of the road, maybe Trumpers.
Can I ask, until now, who were you leaning toward in the Democratic field?
Initially, Kamala Trump. Listen to me, Kamala Harris. Because she
maybe they'll get married after Melania.
Yes.
We don't know.
She was very, you know, she's tough. Then I moved more recently to Buttigieg because he is he's very smart. I think he's very capable, and I think he's very young. I think one day he'll make a fabulous president, but this is not the mm-hmm. time.
Penny, thank you so much for your call. We're going to go next to Andrew in Brooklyn, who I think has a different point of view. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Brian. Hey, Juan Manuel. I'm so against. This is the same gigantic hubris that led him to a third term as mayor, where only he can save the day, and he's going to be the sheriff and corral these Democratic candidates to whip themselves into shape. If he really cared, he would...
Trump, you're there,
primary.
Right? If he really, yes, you know, you broke up for a second. You said if he really cared, what?
He would re-register as and force Trump into a primary wealth and ego would match head on with him.
Very interesting. Andrew, okay, Juan Manuel, that's a start.
That's a start. And I was thinking this morning, Brian, thinking about Bloomberg running for president. I was remembering Hillary Clinton's accepting the nomination in 2016 in Philadelphia. I was there at the convention center. And while she was giving the speech and accepting the nomination, she was getting like jeered and booed by a large section of that place, of the stadium. And those were progressive Democrats who weren't happy with Hillary Clinton as a nominee because they didn't think that she was progressive enough. Can you imagine can you imagine Michael Bloomberg accepting the Democratic nomination for president and having all those Warren and Bernie Sanders supporters in the House listening to his speech? I just can't imagine that moment happening next year.
And the tone in the clip that we played about the apology tour, you know, having to apologize for being white and male and over 50 as a reason he didn't run originally, that's not going to fly for a lot of women and people of color and even millennial white men who are increasingly turned off by language like that. So do you anticipate him trying to change his rhetoric to appeal to a more diverse crowd in these primaries?
I think Michael Bloomberg is smart enough and capable enough to appeal to a wide range of people in the city, like he did here in New York City or in the country. However, again, this is not about a national contest from the get-go. You have to go through a primary process in the Democratic Party, a party right now that if you look at it, some people might say is split in half, like in two different halves. You have the moderates and you have the progressives. And the last time around in 2016, the progressives weren't really happy with the choice of Hillary Clinton because they thought that she was too moderate. So having someone like Bloomberg right now, when there's so much energy in the progressive left with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren's candidacies, it's going to be extremely hard. And one more thing, Brian, because they are criticizing Joe Biden. Not Joe Biden that much, but maybe Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, because they don't, you know, people don't feel that they have enough appeal among African Americans or Latinos. Those are two important voters. Mm-hmm. They're important voters in the Democratic, in the Democratic Party. I don't see Michael Bloomberg being different in that regard. How is it going to appeal to African-American voters in the Democratic Party in a primary like the one in South Carolina?
Another fan, Virginia in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Virginia.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
Thanks for your call.
So great to finally be on. I think that Michael Bloomberg is really just the poster boy for moderate voters, honestly. He's logical. We have a track record of, you know, some would say positive things for the city. Some would say, you know, corrupt. I don't know. I haven't lived in Brooklyn very long, originally from Minneapolis. But I feel that he appeals to the voters who are hiding behind, you know, the businessman Trump, someone who has lots of money and is going to steer us in the right direction. And I think that's why moderate, because do we really need someone who has the qualifications of being in office to run for president? No, that was out the window when Trump ran for president. I don't know. I just feel like he's a star, and I think that he's coming in from the business angle.
Virginia, thank you so much. On the other side of the same coin, literally in a way, Ronald in Crown Heights. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ronald.
Yeah, good morning, Ryan. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. So what I want to say is that this guy maybe has too much money in his hand. So he's not going to buy the White House the same way he bought the city hall three times. So if he cares about people, why doesn't he primary Trump, his fellow billionaire? So, and he's not a nice guy. I met him once as a black man. The way this guy received me, mm-hmm. I think he's a racist and a classist. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, it's interesting how the money that Bloomberg has can cut both ways, Juan Manuel.
It can. Yes. But we're talking about Bloomberg right now because we know that if he decided to run, he has so much money. He doesn't need to fundraise. So it would be easy for someone like him to pay for television ads or social media ads to maybe some infrastructure that he'll need, like strong infrastructure in some early states where the primaries are going to happen or the caucuses. So that he'll bring right away. However, on the other hand, you have like all these Democrats right now that are looking at millionaires and billionaires and the wealthy in a way that they think that maybe they should be paying more taxes. Maybe everything should be more equal for everybody. And that for those Democrats, I don't think Michael Bloomberg candidacy works out that well.
We're going to continue in a minute with Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One Noticias and your calls and look at if he actually fully jumps in, what Bloomberg's distinct pitch to the American people might be, particularly how he would run against other moderates like Pete Buttigieg. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking about former Mayor Michael Bloomberg getting ready, at least holding a spot for himself in the presidential race, because today is the filing deadline in the state of Alabama for the Alabama primary, which is next March 3rd, part of Super Tuesday, and he's filing. So Michael Bloomberg still thinking about running. We're talking about it with Juan Manuel Benitez, the host of Puerto Politica on New York One Noticias. And Juan Manuel, have you seen the Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders tweets yet? Warren linked to her calculator for billionaires, and Sanders tweeted, "The billionaire class is scared, and they should be scared."
I mean, yeah. And Brian, I don't know if you read a story early in the week. I think it was in the New York Times, talking about how many wealthy Democrats were really worried about this election because they thought that people like Warren or Sanders, that discourse that they have, the main theme of their campaigns, is a little bit against billionaires or the wealthy, and how they were nervous about this. And then we're going to end the week with a billionaire entering the race.
Although I wonder if it's a little simplistic. I guess it appeals to a certain base just to write somebody off because he's wealthy. They didn't go after his views, and he has a lot of views they could go after. He does definitely disagree with them on certain policies toward business, things like that. But they didn't say that. They said calculator for billionaires. Billionaire class should be scared.
Well, yeah, that's the easy attack, right, from the get-go. But then again, going back to the issue of money, and I don't want to take anything away from Michael Bloomberg, who is a really capable businessman and politician. And again, we're talking about him because he could make a really important contribution if he decided to run in this presidential election next year. It's not only about money. If I've been to the caucuses in Iowa a few times, and those people who really run the caucuses are young, energetic people who are supporting a specific candidate because they know that person. They spend a lot of quality time with that candidate for months and months. We have candidates in the Democratic field who've been running for close to a year, and they've been going to Iowa several times. So I don't know if you can make that even if you had the money, I don't know if you can basically invest enough time from now to the beginning of February to make an impact.
Unless his strategy is to kind of bypass some of those first ones in February and try to run the table on Super Tuesday, which is the Alabama primary, and I think like 14 others, California and a whole bunch, on March 3rd. I guess we'll find out. What do you think his distinct pitch to the American people would be with respect to the other moderates who are in the race? Like, have you imagined a one-on-one Bloomberg-Buttigieg debate?
Sure. I mean, he was the mayor of New York City for 12 years. And by many measures, he was a good mayor. For many New Yorkers, he was a really good, effective mayor. I know that there are many New Yorkers who don't like Michael Bloomberg or didn't like him at all, or that they started not liking him after he ran for the third term. But he's really capable. And in a one-on-one with someone like Pete Buttigieg, he can say, listen, you're only the mayor of a small town, South Bend. And I was the mayor of the largest city in the country for 12 years. So there's an argument to be made over there. And also, I think Michael Bloomberg offers that argument to all those Democrats who just want someone who could beat Donald Trump. I think Michael Bloomberg is a good choice because he has the abilities and the record and the money to be a formidable opponent to Donald Trump.
Has Bloomberg said anything about how his campaign would be run, like whether he would seek campaign contributions from the public or just run on his own money?
I haven't heard as of yet. I doubt that he would be taking money from anybody. He has enough money to run a really competitive, his own personal money to run a competitive campaign. I don't see him going around asking for money, to tell you the truth. The problem here also, Brian, is that there are so many Democratic campaigns right now happening that at this point, it's really hard for a candidate to hire the best people that are going to help you win every primary or caucus. Those best people in the business are already working for someone else. So even if you have the money, who are you going to hire? That's going to be complicated because you need a real strong infrastructure all over the country to really win the contests necessary to take you to the nomination.
That's right. Well, he seemed to get into this Alabama getting enough signatures game really late. His calculus, I guess, is that he can get in this late everywhere, flood the zone with money, hire all these workers to go out and canvass, and hope it's enough. I guess I think as a final thought, that if nothing else, we learn that the length of our campaign process is so long that two New York City mayors can run for president and not overlap in the race at all.
That is hilarious. And that shows you also that anything can happen from now till the end of 2020. We'll see.
Juan Manuel Benitez, reporter for New York One Noticias and host of their political program, Puerta Politica. Juan Manuel, always great. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
And have a great weekend, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.